And here's Howard Zinn, in case you need any assistance on how to spot a communist.
In the year 1948, there were a series of pamphlets were distributed by the House Committee on Un-American Activities entitled 100 Things You Should Know About Communism. I came across this in my files. I keep files on them. It's only fair. I was impressed by the thought that the committee knew 100 things about communism. Where the pamphlets had 100 questions and answers. Question one, what is communism? So the idea is to start with something easy. Something that requires a brief answer. Answer, a system by which one small group seeks to rule the world. The answer was probably drawn up by the people who later founded the Trilateral Commission.
Can I skip to question 76?
Where can a communist be found in everyday life? Well, this question particularly interested me because there had been times when I was in need of a communist. Didn't know where to find one. Answer, look for him in your school, your labor union, your church, or your civic club. Question 86, is the YMCA a communist target? This is really worrying. I always wondered why there was so much chlorine in the YMCA. Answer, yes. So is the YWCA.
I mentioned earlier that we've just celebrated the centennial of Zinn's birth. At the online celebration hosted by the Zinn Education Project, Martin Espada reminisced about his friendship with Zinn. Espada's a great contemporary poet.
For decades, I've kept
Poetry Like Bread, Poets of the Political Imagination, the anthology he edited, right next to my own writing space. Espada began his reminiscence with a poem of his own about Zinn.
We stood together at the top of his icy steps, without a word for once, squinting at the hill below and the tumble we were about to take, heads bumping on every step till our bodies rolled into the street. He was older than the bread lines of the Great Depression. Before the war, he labored at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, even organized apprentices, but now there was ice. I outweighed him by 100 pounds. When my feet began to skid, I would land on him and hear the crunch of his surgically repaired spine. The books I held for him would fly away like doves disobeying an amateur magician. "Let's go back in the house," I said. "Show me the baseball Sandy Koufax signed to you from one lefty to another." Instead, he picked up a blue plastic bucket of sand, the kind of pail good for building castles at Coney Island, tossed a fist of sand down onto the sun-frozen concrete, and took the first step delicately. Again and again, he would throw a handful of sand in the air like bread for pigeons, then probe with the tip of his shoe for the sandy place on the next step. Sand, then step. Sand, then step. Every time he took a step, I took a step, an apprentice shadow studying the movements of his teacher, the body. This is how I came to dance a soft shoe in size 14 boots, grinding my toes into the gritty spots he left behind on the ice. I was there. I saw him turn the tundra into the beach with a wave of his hand, Coney Island of castles for the laborers and ball games on the radio, showing the way across the ice and down the hill into the street where he spoke to me the last words of the last lesson. You drive.
There's a lot more to that celebration of Zinn's life and contributions. You can find it at the Zinn Education Project website.